And thank you for your tremendous perseverance. And we're just going to keep on trying to read this book. You'll be surprised how real and how relevant this book really is in real life. Maybe we don't see it over here as definitely, but you know, as in some countries, and especially in Israel's history, this is so real. But let's take a look at it. Let's pray together. Now, Father, we pray that you will bless as we take time to read your word, to digest it, to understand it. We pray that you will give to us that wisdom that will help us to actually understand how these things, these words of warning, were not given in vain. We pray that you will teach us how to treasure this word of truth that will help us to understand how to navigate our life better on this earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we take up the book of Deuteronomy, and as I said, I really appreciate your perseverance. Okay, now let's take a look at this. This is important. Okay, now let's take a look at 25 down to 29, and we'll see how this worked out. Okay, so 25 says, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies." Right, and this is something that they don't expect, right? You see, sometimes there's this false notion, you see, that we are God's people, and because we are God's people, God will bless, God will protect, nothing can go wrong. That's not true. Things can go desperately wrong. And this was a word of warning. See, this goes on further. It's all part of the whole thing, right? This whole idea, so it's all part of the curses. Got to go back to it again and again, okay? In a city, in a country, in a basket, in a kneading bowl, in the fruit of the body, whatever. Going out, coming in, the Lord will send you cursing, confusion, rebuke, and all you set your heart to do. Now, this is the background of it all, okay? So before we take up the military ideas, now this is something that we want to appreciate. It's only when you study the history of Israel that you begin to appreciate and understand that there are lots of these things which can just scary to think about it, right? So the cursing, the confusion, the rebuke, and everything you do. Now, this is... It could be domestic life, it could be business life, it could be personal life, you name it, right? We're going to take a little bit of a military life part of it, but this is bad enough, right? So on the domestic front, on the personal front, on the business front, you name it, it's going to be really, really bad, I think, right? So this is something that you need to look at, okay? Now, we go on further. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you. It will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, severe burning fever. Okay, now, just because you have a fever like that, you mustn't think, no, this is it. So, you see, you look at this MERS kind of thing here. Is it true? No. This is not at all. Now, I was just... something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully, you see. So there are illnesses. I mean, let's face it, right? So there are things that can really, really be troubling. And nothing is worse than you go for a blood test and the doctor's clinic calls up and they said, he wants to see you tomorrow. Now, that is not a good thing. And that's what happened to me. Right? So I have to go and go and see the doctor tomorrow. Now, look at this thing. We're struck with consumption, with fever, with what? Let us say that I have none of these things here. What does that mean? So you mustn't think that every time you become ill, then Deuteronomy 28, 22 comes in. Okay? You mustn't push the panic button so easily. And you mustn't really allow yourself to be affected like that. Okay? Because you watch this, they all go together. Right? So you see this as a whole cluster rather than individually. So every time consumption is TB. So you go to you go to Myanmar, you go to India, a lot of people get TB, you stay there long enough, you might get TB too. This Lord will strike you. No. You just very unwisely stayed there too long, and that can happen. Right? So this you mustn't think about. So we come to it with fever, with inflammation. A lot of things can cause the inflammation, not because of the Lord. Right? So this is absolutely important. Okay? Now this is something we need. With the sword, with scorching, with mildew, they shall pursue you until you perish. So it's a whole cluster to go with it. Usually in wartime, this happens. Right? I mean, this is really, really a tough situation, recently there was a set of old paintings that belonged to a Jewish family. And all this while, it has been in a museum in Bavaria. I mean, look at 1938, and this is now 70 years later. Then he said, oh, because all the children perished, so we couldn't find who the real owners are, the heirs. They have finally found the heirs, and now they are returning it. So for the family, it is closure, it is justice. But in a war situation, a lot of bad things can happen. Can imagine, from 38, the whole family destroyed. All family fortune gone. All those big paintings, famous paintings, costly paintings that would fetch millions today, lost. So they said when it was returned, it was sort of justice. It was, a day of justice for them. But remember, wartime, many things happen. People get sick, no medicine. This happens all the time. You look at a space, they create a ghetto in Poland, right? Half a mile, that's it. How many people you think you put into half a mile? Half a mile square, ghetto. How many people would they put in? First time, 250,000. As if that is not enough, add in another 150,000. Are you serious? Then they say, this place is filled with plague. People have inflammation, consumption, people die here. The plague is here, avoid. You're going to get hit. This is war situation. All right, this is wartime, and this is how so many people die in the ghettos in Poland, to the point when they said there were no Jews in Poland. And that is very, very, very significant. Recently, a few years ago, they managed to actually set up a Jewish synagogue in Poland after all these years. Now, it's a very, very sad thing. There are many, many Polish Jews. There are really many Polish Jews in their time. Literally, lots and lots of them. And they were all exterminated. So in times of war, things like that, you're going to see this. Right? Because of neglect, mildew will come. And because of the fact that you don't have any medical treatment of any kind, children die, young people die, old people die. All you need is a cut and you just, before you know it, you're dead. So this is literally the situation where the war situation comes in, okay? So in other words, together with the wartime situation, all these things will come. So you mustn't think of it in terms of, okay, if I got a fever, God is going to strike me. No. Right? That's not how it works. So from time to time, there will be things like that. Now, look at 23. Okay, again here, on the domestic front, your heavens which are over your head. shall be bronze, not haze. So suddenly, haze becomes not so bad. What do you mean by bronze? Now, bronze, of course, suddenly becomes metal. No, it doesn't mean that. Right? So if you know the color of bronze, you know, golden idea, a little bit brownish, a bit shiny, the place is literally polluted. Right? I mean, this is something that we do. This shall be bronze. And this is the idea of it all. You know, you get a bronze sky, you're not going to have rain. You know, it could be scorching. I mean, look at the weather that we are seeing today over in Europe, over in India, and so on and so forth. Then we see a sky like bronze. So when the sun hits it, it becomes very, very hot, right? And then literally people die. So that's a bronze sky. Okay? It's not that you throw a stone up in the air and then thung, you have a sound there. No, it's not. But it's to tell you how tough life will be. So you have a heat wave and people go to the public fountains and just jump in down there because that's the only way to keep cool. The people stay away from, don't go out in the public. That's how you have a bronze sky. Right? So the bronze is just a color. And I mean, if it's metal, it's going to be hot, it's going to be hard, it's going to be scorching. It's all part of it. And it really, really can be quite tough. Seriously. Okay? And then, of course, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. And, of course, that is going to be extremely hard. See, I mean, some of those, the Great Lakes of U.S., one of them is severely affected. You can even see parts of, you can almost say, what? How come it's so low? There we go. Things can happen. Right? And, you know, it's very hard for us to imagine how hard the earth can become. I mean, seriously, it is so sun-baked. It's just like baking, you know, bricks. The sun is so hot. I mean, how hot is Singapore? 32 degrees. Wow, so hot, so hot. We must. I mean, why? Why is that called hot? Really? But some of the deserts over in the U.S. and those deserts can fetch up to over 100 Celsius. Nothing survives there. I mean, seriously, it could be that hot. That's why if you get caught in those, that's why in those desert areas, nobody goes. So the ground is like, literally, like iron. It is caked. And you can't do anything with it. That's how to give you an idea of bronze and iron. In other words, it's not normal. Right? So this is all part of the Lord's curse. And in everything, you know, this is absolutely important. Right? So this is how it works. Now, then the Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. Now, this one, you almost have to experience it to understand what powder and dust is. Right? I've been to a place, one part of Myanmar, many years ago, and I was at a meeting explaining something, and it came out. And I couldn't believe how much dust was on the windshield. The windshield cannot move. It is that thick. You have to literally find a little, you can take a spoon and shovel away the dust. And just 2 hours, the entire place, it says, you cannot see the thing. So where does this dust come from? It's from China. It comes over. And it is this kind of thick dust. So you don't have rain, you have the dust. Everything is choked up. The cars can't even start. Why? It goes into the engine. The engine becomes choked up. This is what it, until you really see it, you cannot believe it. It fouls up everything, right? So on that day, that week, the car that I hired didn't work. So the hospital, because I know the superintendent of the hospital, he said, I lend you my ambulance. So I expected an ambulance, proper ambulance. No, it was not. It was a pickup truck. That was his ambulance. Is this ambulance? Yeah, yeah, of course. Because a lot of people there use bullock carts. So you have a vehicle, call it whatever you want. A pickup truck is an ambulance. It's faster than a bullock cart, that's it. Because the bullock, the fellow is in pain. By the time he's driven to the hospital, he may be half dead. So a car moves faster. But imagine the whole place gets so bad, nothing moves. I mean, it's very, very hard to imagine how that is. So you want to take away what a wash is, more than shampoo, because you just shake all the dust would really, really hit you. This is why whenever you have a sandstorm, you just don't move. You just got to cover everything, especially your eyes. That sand will actually get into your eye. And it can be really, really, really bad. I mean, this is kind of a thing here. So whenever you see a thing like that, it turns into powder and dust. And you realize that this is actually true. And it's yellow, and it's in, that is really, really tough. So remember, when you switch on, the thing just cannot, nothing moves. The engine won't start. Nothing moves. I mean, that was... This is an idea, not that it was cursed by the Lord, but to give you an idea of what it really is. Now, that is something that we all need to think about very carefully. Now we come to 25 again. Okay, now we come to 25. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. That's what we mean by the battle is the Lord's. Right? And there are many, many, many battles along the way that you have to understand. It's the Lord who determines how battles actually turn out. Who will win? Well, that is the issue, you see. So there are many, many battles in you read about. And they're really interesting battles along the way. And you just sometimes think about how it works. And it's amazing how the things work out. Okay? But let's take a look at some of those things here. And we'll see how... let's look at the different kings here. Okay? And we'll see this. And we'll see this very, very clearly. Let's look at this, okay? Look at the kings which are there, and they are promised, and the Lord would bless them. Let's take a look and look at two kings, okay? Look at two kings, and it's the Lord who determines the people, what happens. 2 Kings chapter 6, okay? And this is interesting to see this, okay? Now, 2 Kings 6, this is Syria, right? And Syria wants to attack Israel, right? So this is a Syrian conflict. And till today, Syria has the same problem. So the wars that we see today are actually not new, right? But Syria is very, very greatly conflicted, even worse now. Okay, verse 8. The king of Syria was making war against Israel. So he said, he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. Right? And so, of course, he has a council of war. I mean, every king has to talk to his generals. Otherwise, how do you plan? You cannot say, okay, let's go. You cannot. You have to talk to his... The servants here refer to his generals, to his council of war. Right? And then the man of God sent to the king of Israel, right? This is not secret service, but this is intelligence of a different kind. This is intelligence not gathered by sending out spies. You need one man, and his name is Elisha. That's it. And the man of God said to the king, beware you do not pass this place. The Syrians are coming down there. Right? Good thing he heeded. The king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and it was watchful there, not just once or twice. Which means to say that every time the Syrian king planned a campaign, it didn't turn out. I mean, not once or twice, it means many times. Let's go try north. How many points are there in a compass? Okay, let's try. There we go. And so this was a real problem. So he was fed up. He's greatly troubled. He called his servants and said, will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? There must be a traitor somewhere. Right, look at verse 12. One of the servants said, none, my lord, O king. Problem is Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Now, this is worse than CC cameras all over the place. This one is audio. Right? So what can you say? You've got to say something to your general sometime. He says, so the king, all right, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And so they say he's in Dothan. So he sent horses, chariots, and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. So the whole place was surrounded. And of course, the famous story, it talks about the angels of God. Right? So he prayed, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, that is where the armies of God are. You see, at the end of the day, battles are won or lost because of the armies of God. Not human army. They really, 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 human army, not all that great. Watch this. So the Syrians came down to him, and imagine, this is almost hilarious. You have a huge army to capture one man. That is really kind of funny if you think about it. So Elisha said to them, he prayed to the Lord. He says, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. Actually, nice to have such power from time to time. You know, strike the power. But then it can also be abuse, and then that becomes. So good thing there are no Elishas and there are no prophets around, because they are very dangerous people. Right? So there it is. So, and it was, of course, the Lord knows it. You know, this is the right thing to do. And so, so he said, this is not the way, nor is this a city. Follow me. I will bring you to the man whom you seek. Now, this is not a lie. Okay, this is not a lie. Sounds like a lie, right? See, whom do they really seek? Actually, the Israeli king. Israel's king, right? So you want to seek, I just happen to be the hindrance. You don't really want me, do you? It's actually the man. The one you want to seek is the king. I will bring. So he's not lying. So you must think, how come Elisha lied? No, he didn't. He understood that a battle was not against Elisha. The battle was against the king of Israel. I will bring you. Remember, the whole idea was to fight the king of Israel, right? So I will bring you to the person you are seeking. And that is the king of Israel. So it was when they come to Samaria, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of this man. And there they were inside Samaria. Now, when the king of Israel saw them, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? Wrong understanding. You see, so this was the man that the Syrians were seeking. So you mustn't think of that, you know, he was lying. How come Elisha, such a prophet of God, how come he lied? No. He understood the original intention. And so he said, nope, you shall not kill them.
Would you kill those you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Right? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Now that is great courtesy shown. But you cannot be like the Nazis. After you capture them and then you kill them. You kill them in battle, it's fair. You shoot me, I shoot you. See who is a better shot. But you cannot capture the people, and then that would be something wrong. Unfortunately, the Axis was like that. The Japanese were like that. The Nazis were like that. All right, one was just shorter than the other, and that's it. But they are just as bad. They're just as cruel. They're just as wicked. They're just as this is evil. I mean, they just lop off the head, except they do it more sophisticatedly. They give them a shower, a gas shower. See, the same problem. They kill people. And these are all captives. There we go. We don't do that. Right? So then we see this. So, okay. Then they were released. They came no more into the land of Israel. No more means for a while. Okay? You must not think no more means forever. No. No more for a while. Then we read, happened after this, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army, went out, besieged Samaria. See? This is what can happen again. Right? So this fellow has been thwarted many times. His army could have been slaughtered, but would return home. For a while, wow, this is very serious stuff. Then you forget. And the nonsense comes back. So now they're going to besiege Samaria. Because, you see, it's very shameful to be defeated like that. And Syria had a bigger army. Right? So sometimes wars are not for any other reason than to remove shame. That's how it is. There are many, many reasons why people go to war. It's not always for protection. They always the argument, the best defense is attack. And so we convince ourselves that's how it works. That's not how it works a lot of times, right? So over here, there we go. Now they besiege Samaria. Okay? Now, this is what happens. Remember how the Lord warned them will happen, Deuteronomy 25? In war and things like that. Now watch what happens in reality. Right? A great famine in Samaria came. Obvious. Right? So indeed they besieged until donkey's head was full for 80 shekels of silver. What would you do with a donkey's head? You cannot eat the hair. You cannot chew on the skin, leather. And there is not much meat. You have to be a donkey to pay 80 shekels for a donkey's head. But it was so bad. What would you do? Lick the head? Suck the bone? What? What would you do? It was that bad. I mean, this is something that would, okay? 1/4 of a cap of dove droppings. Oh, my goodness. You know why these dove droppings are there? So you have to go to Serangoon Garden. You just stop there for a few moments in the morning, the dropping, 2, 3, 4, 5, easily. Right? Just outside UOB, there are some old trees there. And so I want to go to UOB, I dare not to park there. Because, what happened? Now, some people call it blessing. I don't. Right? The birds, no manners. The parents did not teach them. So that is what happens. But imagine, right? So you just take this, dove droppings. What would you do with dove droppings? No, not to make into Milo or something like that. It's not, right? What is it? What do they use droppings for? Do you know? You see, usually, I mean, in India, it's cow's droppings. Cow's dropping will be useful because it gives you, it can become fuel. Right? See, if you're so desperate, you know how long it takes for the dove to give you this amount of fuel.
The pigeon, many pigeons will have to be suffering from diarrhea in order to give you this amount of fuel for 5 shekels of silver. I mean, you got to be kidding. See, that's what I mean by the heavens are bronze, the earth iron. There was no food. You cannot grow anything. Right? But that's what we are seeing over here. Well, then we read. And the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, and a woman cried out to him, "Help, my lord, O king." And he says, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you?" See, I mean, that's true. He recognizes it is the Lord. Only you wish that they will actually follow the Lord. They can just mention the name of the Lord. They understand this is the Lord's work, the Lord's punishment, but they're not obeying the Lord. But let's take a look at this here. Okay? Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" Anyway, since you come to me, I talk to you. And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son, ate him. So I said to her the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son." I mean, this is really desperate. Now, I mean, there are lots of this. I mean, you read of stories like that. You know, one of the most famous stories that came out in the papers when a plane crashed in the mountains. Right? And it was very hard. How do you survive a mountain crash? Snow, it would take a long time before rescue would come. And people died. 4 or 5 remain. Whatever food that was on the plane, eaten up. Rescue has still not yet come. How? The people had died. No need to bury. The snow had covered them. They are frozen, like meat. To eat or not to eat? Would that make you a cannibal? Now, you mustn't think that this sometime truly the child died. Right? And then boiled the son. Right? But may not be, it may be a live son, just sickly. Still alive. You cannot eat that which is alive. So you've got to boil the child. You're going to die anyway. Right? So this is how hard life. You see, this is wartime. Now, this is just a warning to everybody, the people. So sometimes God allows Israel to actually experience this. Hopefully, they will learn. On the one hand, here is the help of a prophet of God, a man of God. Right? So he tells the king 1 time, 2 time, 3 time, how many times? Right? But now, something's not right. So the king says, "Well, if the Lord doesn't help us, how are we going to do it?" That this was a very, very hard time. So the king, he tore his clothes and he was, right? So this is important. Now, unfortunately, when the king heard the words, he tore his clothes, he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and he had sackcloth on his body. Then he said, "God do so to me, more also." He was swearing, "If the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today." Right? Shaphat literally means judgment. You know, Elijah was literally like a prophet of judgment. Not that it meant that way, but it just happened to be a family name. That's what it was. Right? So can you see this a real problem? Why didn't God help Israel? You've got to study this story very, very carefully in order to understand why things come. Right? Take a look at why these things come. The Elisha was sitting in his house. The elders were sitting with him. The king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "Do you see how this son of a murderer has someone to take away my head?" The father was a murderer. The son was a murderer. And this is why God was going to chasten, punish the land. I hope you understand the whole story. So when you look at all the curses that are there, they're not curses that are just sent out for the sake of, you know, just for the sake of saying it. Very often, it's because of the problem of sin that is actually there. And this is an example. Right? So here is a righteous man who tells the people what is right, what is wrong, what is sin, what is not. Right? And then here is this father was a murderer, and he will be a murderer too. It's sad, but it runs in the family sometimes. Well, that's what we are looking at. Okay? And so he said, when messenger comes, shut the door, hold him fast at the door. It's not the sound of his master's feet behind him. It's very hard to capture a prophet. That's why he's a prophet. He knows ahead of time. First, it's very hard to go and see somebody that you're going to capture me. Hold him fast. His master is coming after him. I mean, this is so desperate, right? The king sends one messenger, maybe assassin, and then he comes after. He's a king. He doesn't have to do this. But the whole country is in such a bad state. The king has to personally see to things, which is not usual. All right? So we're looking at really desperate times, but there it is. So while he was talking with them, there was a messenger. Then the king said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? So in other words, there was an exchange of conversation between Elisha and the king. You want to capture me? Here I am. See, your messenger. What did he say to the king? He was basically telling the king, wait for the Lord. It was not stated. But the king said, why should I wait for the Lord any longer? You see, so some of those conversations is like listening to telephone on one side. Right? So you got to figure out what was said on the other side of the telephone. Why should I wait any longer? Right? And yet, this must have been the word, wait on the Lord, which is very common. All the prophets always tell the people, wait on the Lord. Why? So that you can exercise faith, so that you can exercise hope, so that you can exercise trust, so that you can see the hand of the Lord in His time, in His purpose, He will bring it to pass. Right? In the meantime, the famine builds. People are killing each other. Children are being boiled to death. Why? So that they will learn the horrors of literally being in sin like that against the Lord. The father was a murderer. The son was a murderer. What do you expect? What do you expect? And it was a very, very tough situation. Right? So his question is, how long should I wait? I think, why should I wait for the Lord any longer? See, I've been waiting. Last time was deliverance. We know where the armies came. We know how to avert the danger. Why didn't you help us? Now we are in a calamity. Now we are besieged. Now we have got no food. Where people are killing each other. I'm going to take off your head. It's all your fault. Why is it my fault? It's not Elisha's fault. He's just a servant of God. It's their fault. They just don't want to see their faults. They will not want to see their own sin. What was your father like? Murderer. What are you? Also a murderer in your own right. Why should the Lord bless? Why should the Lord help you further? Remember how murderous he was? Shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? That was what he was like. And so he didn't actually kill them, but he'll kill other people. That was a real problem. So, well, Elijah said, Hear the word of the Lord. Okay? Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seer of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel. Are you serious? Just yesterday, a donkey's head was selling for 60 shekels. Now, even dove's droppings were selling for 5 shekels. Let's not talk about fine flour. Fine flour will be sold for a shekel. That's it. Are you serious? 60 donkey's head, you don't know what to do with it. What, place your rate? Weigh it on your head. What do you want to do with it? Right? I mean, seriously. I mean, so now we're looking at fine flour, and this is a real, okay, for a soul. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned. This one is not because he was very tired. This one is a fashion of the day. Right? All kings have someone to lean on. So it was fashionable. I mean, that was how it was, isn't it? I mean, you see the Ethiopian eunuch and all, you know, they always have someone to lean on. That's why he said to Elijah, you know, if the king wants to bow down, I cannot stand, you know. If he bows down, I'll get to bow down because he leans on my head. So it was fashionable that one, I'm leaning on his head. Not because he's crippled or it's just, I mean, how can you not have someone to lean on? You no power, no authority, you got no class. Huh? There's someone to lean on. Okay? Now, this is your usual day. So, officer said to him, okay, look, if the Lord would make heavens, windows in heaven, could this thing be? Right? This is where people you lean on could be your advisor. You lean on could be your confidant. The people you lean on could be serious trouble. The king was not going to wait any longer. And here was a word from the Lord. Tomorrow, everything will be so cheap. Where do you get a fine flour from? The enemy. That's where it's going to come from. Because the enemies, very often, they bring a whole entourage of things with them, you know. That's why they're spoilers for war. They don't just go into battle with a sword and shield. No. They always have cookhouse. And the king, if he goes into battle, will not eat the bread of the common man. He will get his baker, I want my bread. Right? And they, for example, the Persian kings, when they travel for battle, they don't travel alone, and I don't mean soldiers. Some of them will bring 30, 60 concubines with them. Just to display how powerful, how wealthy they are. And they will travel with all kinds of gold. That's why when you go into war, you can actually have a lot. So fine clothing, all the women, they're not going to wear one dress. Every concubine has got 20 dresses. Imagine. So you got 50 of them. Whoa, you got a lot of dresses to choose from. And then the ladies never must have fingers with rings and nose rings and earrings and headbands. So after that, it's big shopping spree. Just help yourself. That's how it is. So fine flour is actually quite common. In other words, this is a cryptic way of saying the enemy will be defeated. You don't worry, right? You wait on the Lord. There it is. So he replied, really? In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Wow, that is literally what we call a curse. Right? So this advisor, this person whom a king leans on, right, has been received a scolding from Elisha. And so what happened was this, right? So verse 6, the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the
the noise of the chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. And so they said, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. So they arose and fled at twilight, left the camp intact, tents, horses, donkeys, they fled for their lives.
Now in the early days, no need internet, no need Twitter. You just have a rumor, and then suddenly it spreads like wildfire. Wow, the army's going to, the Hittite is going to hit us. We better run. Right? And so the Egyptians were going to come and, wow, these were formidable foes which the Syrians feared. And they fled for no rhyme or reason. This is how the Lord can win battles.
Well, what happened to the officer? Right? So we read, the lepers came along. Right? So they came.
Why sit here and die? We might as well go out there and die. Either way, we die. Well, we will die trying. So he went out there. If they go out there, people will stone them. They will die. If they sit there, they will starve to death. They will die too. Might as well try and, you know, at least die on a full stomach rather than to die and hungry. So he went. And then so they entered in, and they saw. And so they came to one tent. Hey, nobody's there. So they ate and they drank and then carried silver, gold, and clothing. Went to hide them and then came back, entered another tent, carried some more there, also went and hide them. Then they said, we're not doing right. No? This is a day of good news, not looting. All the time, every time shops are broken into, fire start, next moment, looting. Everybody loots. I don't know why, but everybody. So there we go. This is looting. They didn't even fight any at all. Okay, if we wait until morning, some punishment will come upon us. We better go and tell the king. So they went to the. So they told the king, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied, tents intact. So the king arose in the night. Okay, this is what happened. Okay. Maybe they know we are hungry, we've gone out, and then they will catch, and so on and so forth. He says, look, let several men and just check it out. And then they came back, they went to see. And that's true. Verse 16. 15, the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. This is what we mean by they will flee in seven directions. See, this is Deuteronomy 25. All right? 28, 25, they will flee in several directions. It means they will panic. Where do they run? Nobody runs in seven directions. Only when you panic, then you run everywhere you can run. Sometimes into the fire, never mind. And that was a real problem, right? So they plundered the tents of the Syrians, and a seer of flying fire was sold for a shekel. There was so much. You want or not? I give you one. No need, just help yourself. But if you want to buy, okay, give me one shekel. Just take a whole. There we go. It was exactly fulfilled. Right? The king had appointed an officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the people were so excited. There's free food, gold, silver, everything, clothing. Run! And that fellow, you will see it, you will not eat. And he was trampled to death. There we see. Right? So can you see the whole idea of it all? I think this is important. So it happened. Two seers of barley for a shekel, seer of fine flour for a shekel. They answered, there we go. This man. It so happened that men trampled him at the gate and he died. That is what happened. So we go back to Deuteronomy a little bit. Okay? And we come to 28 and you'll see this. He will cause you to be defeated. Okay? You will go out one way against them. You will flee seven ways. Panic. Well, that's a description. But this time we're using the Syrians as an example. But that's the idea behind it all. Okay? And then you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air, and no one shall frighten them away. Right? I mean, usually when you come to a place where the carrion carrion birds who come and attack. Right? So you say, shoo! Right? Then you, they just don't bother. This, there are so many dead people, so many carrion birds, you don't even bother. In Nazi camps, it was a common thing. Sometimes they would say, bring out the dead. After a while, they just, last time you take a piece of cloth, cover the face. Some dignity given. There came a time when the bodies are just thrown into the wheelbarrow, face not covered, and you know what? Nobody even looked. First, they don't want to know. Because it hurts to know who died and how they died. Why bother? After a while, the heart is hardened. You just don't even want to bother at all. Okay? Your carcasses shall be food, and no one shall frighten them away. Right? And the Lord will strike you with all the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. Right? This is what will happen. And that is what we see. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Guess what happened? You read Lamentations. Many people read Lamentations chapter 3. You know, faithfulness every morning. You know, you should read the other chapters. You should all. And every other chapter, except for this passage, is dark, is grim, is gruesome, is really, really hard to read. It's really sad to see this, but that's what happened. Right? So can you see that what has happened to the king? Yeah, that's what it is. And the king is going to be, but just give you a little bit of these things here. Look at the book of Lamentations. Okay? And we'll see how lamentation works and see. Okay? And let's take a look at this. We'll see this. In chapter 4. Okay? The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was caught in their pits. Of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the nations. Now, it's a very cryptic phrase. What does it mean? Right? Well, let's take a look and see what happens. Right? The anointed of the Lord was supposed to be the king. We live and breathe, literally, the breath of our nostrils because of the king. But where are we now? Right? The anointed of the Lord, the king, was caught in their pits. What do we say about the king? Under his shadow, we shall live among the nations. But what if the king is a murderer and a son of a murderer? So this is a cryptic saying, meaning to say, what's the point of being called the anointed of the Lord? See, there is meant to be some value in it. But the title in itself is empty. That is the problem of it all. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, what is it? In other words, as we live and breathe, it is by because of the king. This was the man under his shadow. Right? This is king anointed, blessed by the Lord. And under his shadow, we will live among all the nations, protected by his shadow. So powerful he is. So blessed he is. But what if the anointed of the Lord is cursed by the Lord? It's a cryptic verse. But that is the meaning of it all. The anointed of the Lord by itself is an empty title. Right? So, same, the anointed of the Lord is a reference to the king. Sometimes the anointed of the Lord is a reference to the prophet or to the priest or whoever. And under him, under the blessing, so the Lord anoints the person, and we live and breathe because he's anointed of the Lord. Right? And we prosper, we live among the nations because of the anointed of the Lord. His shadow will bring shelter. Right? You see, very much like Isaiah. It's like a wall. But this time, it's the king. Right? This is the whole idea. And this is meant to be the king. But what if the king is in trouble with the Lord? What do we have? Nothing will happen. That was what happened to Israel. That was what happened to Judah. And all these things that we see happening is actually a reflection of what God warned in the book of Deuteronomy. You see what I'm trying to say? So all the things which are there, there we go. Okay? Look at chapter 4 and we'll see how it works. Right? And see, talk about the 2 Kings 6 about the mothers eating their children. Take a look. Okay? In verse 3, even the jackals present their breasts to nurse their young. But the daughter of my people is cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. You know what they do? They abandon their children. Why? We read, the tongue of the infant clings to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them because there's no bread. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. They are brought down to that level. Watch this. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom. Because when Sodom was destroyed, it was destroyed in a moment. But the punishment that was meted out against Judah was really, really terrible. Right? This is her Nazarites. They were once upon a time, they were brighter than snow. Right? They are dedicated to the Lord. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Wow, that's a real sign of health. This is a description of David, actually. Ruddy, really healthy looking. Like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance, blacker than soot. What happened? You see, the Nazarite is supposed to be keep clean from everything. That's why they're so fair and they're so bright and they're so dedicated and the Lord gives them health. But look at this Nazarite. The appearance blacker than soot. Nobody will recognize whether they are the chimney sweep or the Nazarite vow people. I mean, it's really bad, right? Their skin clings to their bones. You know how when the collagen is no more, and you're no more plump, you're no more flesh. The skin, why you just hanging like that? It is a terrible situation. That's how sickly they look. And yet these are the ones who are dedicated to the Lord. In other words, the Lord will not bless them. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. For these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. There we go. See, verse 10. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. See, this is 2 Kings 6. They become food for them.
in the destruction of the daughter of my people.
See, what is the point of carrying on in sins like that? I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. If we were to carry on with sins like that, the Lord will deal with us one day. And that is not something to look forward to. Obviously, and we have to think about this thing very carefully. So as we read Deuteronomy 28, and then you read it in the context of actual happening in 2 Kings 6, that is Israel. And then you see this is crying in a book of Lamentation happened in Judah. Right? Then you begin to realize these words are real. They may be said prophetically, but they will be fulfilled in both Israel and in Judah. And that confirms the reality of Deuteronomy 28, the curses of the Lord. Why would we not fear the Lord if this is going to happen? Well, I think our challenge ought to be, let us fear the Lord. Let's not go the way of sin. And that is something that is very, very serious. Okay? Now, what are the sins? Verse 13, chapter 4. Right? Because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests who shed in her midst the blood of the just. You see? So there we see the kings of the earth, right? They did not believe they would ever enter the gates of Jerusalem because God had always protected them. No one could conquer Jerusalem as long as God protected them. But now, the whole nation was wide apart because the Lord had withdrawn His protection. See, that's what we mean. The Lord will cause you to be defeated. See, they never believed they could defeat Jerusalem. Nobody defeated Jerusalem. Not in David's time, not in any time. But there came a time when God removed His protection and it was all over. That's it, finish. So take Deuteronomy 28 carefully in the light of history of Israel, 2 Kings 6, in the light of Judah and the history, Lamentations 4 and 5. And you see, actually the whole book of Lamentations, a description of the fall of Judah. Then you realize, you go all the way back to Deuteronomy 28. So don't take the Lord's word lightly. They're very serious. Blessings and curses. Can both blessings become curses? Yes. That is how it is. And that's how tough it is. Well, think about this. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for Your grace, for Your blessings. And we pray that You will help us to learn how to honor You and fear You, that we may not sin against You the way Israel and Judah did. We pray that You would teach us how to love You, honor You, fear You as we should. We pray that You will continue to watch over us. We pray for our nation as we celebrate our National Day, that You would give us leaders who would truly honor You, seeking the path of good and righteousness, that we may be spared from all the things that will come to those who indulge in sin. We pray that You will protect our nation. We pray for Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you all for coming.